This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox, sitting in for Farai Chidea. On today's roundtable, Donald Rumsfeld at the center of another political debate in the run-up to the upcoming election. And the British government says global warming is taking a toll on the earth and the economy. Joining us today from our New York bureau is Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Michael, nice to have you back.
Yeah, so Michael Myers, it's not a Halloween joke.
And Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, is at member station WLRN in Miami, Florida. Laura, happy Halloween to you.
Same to you, Tony.
And from member station WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island, Glenn Lowry, professor of the social sciences and economics at Brown University. Glenn, nice to have you back as well.
Hey there, Tony.
So listen, we all heard, before we get into our regularly scheduled topics for today, let's briefly hit on what we just heard in the A segment from the president of Spelman, talking about the significance of historically black colleges. And we got to hear a little bit of Michael Myers' opinion from a previous situation. So we don't want to relive that, but let me just put this one question to the three of you. How important and relevant are these schools now? Laura, let's start with you.
I think President Tatum really said it best. There's a place and will always be a place for traditionally African-American schools for the same reason as she pointed out there's a place for same-sex colleges. People have choices, and I, as she did not go to this type of school. I went to a traditional, you know, white university, and I think that I missed something because of that. I think there's a place, especially for some young African Americans, women and men, to be able to find out who they are, to discover their culture, to value that in a way that they're never going to be able to do, to learn more about black history, to get educated about their culture, and I see nothing wrong with that. And unfortunately, I think that part of the struggle that these schools have is that they're, it's just like everything else in our society. African American does not get the same bonus points that white does. So there are some people, even people who come out of these schools, who don't see the need to give back, who don't see the need to support them because there's this perception that they're somehow inferior because they're black.
Glenn, you work in the academy as I do. What's your take on this?
Well, I think the basic issue here is the identity needs of the African-American middle class. Institutions like Spelman, and there aren't many of them, and Spelman is a fine institution, exist to serve in substantial part the identity needs of the African-American middle class. And I think, you know, you have to decide whether or not that's legitimate. I don't see why the identity needs of black people are any less warranting of being taken seriously than are the identity needs of any other people in the society. So I think that is legitimate. But then you have to ask, what's the price that parents are paying in order to give their kids this identity boost? And that's an objective, empirical question. That is to say, the alternative is to go to, you know, a conventional liberal arts college that would be, quote, white, close quote. So then we get to comparing the quality of the institutions and of the intellectual experience that the students have at the two different things. And that's an empirical question.
Let me ask you, Mike Myers, I'm assuming after you heard the president that your position has not changed.
Well, my position is that I should have been on with President Tatum because a lot of what she said was nonsense and racial idiocy and needed to be answered. But I must tell you, I'm shocked that the president of a historically black single-sex college advocates racially identifiable black single-sex colleges. I'm just shocked.
I'm shocked that you're. Shocked.
This is a deification of skin color. It is nothing less than a slavery mentality, an inferiority complex.
So what is Brandeis?
Excuse me, I listen to you. It's my turn.
No,
listen to me. It's my turn. Now, excuse me for talking while you're interrupting. It is part of the detrimental consequences of a biracial society where blacks are now asserting the value of being separated by race. They got to go to the back of the bus. They got to go to the back of the class. They got to sit at separate tables in the college cafeterias. They got to live in black dormitories. This is a racist mystique. It is nothing worse than the deification of skin color and identity on the part of whites.
All right.
Now, if there's no such thing as wrong with white identity, why is there something
The world is not
identity?
Black and white, Michael. The world is not black and
exactly
white.
Exactly right.
What
and
about
it's time,
Brandeis?
It's time for
and,
black.
And what about
it's,
Catholic
it's
institutions, Michael?
Excuse
it's
me.
About
there's
identity.
Excuse me, Glenn. There's a difference between religion and race, and you know
what
that.
What is it?
I tell
what
you what,
a big difference.
Gentlemen. I tell you what. looks like this is a topic we're going to have to set aside for a roundtable when we can go more into it.
Yeah,
because we weren't really intending to focus on that. That was what the A segment was about. But because there
is such... can't really have a conversation about this.
Passion.
Every time a person has a different point of view speaks up, he's interrupted by a panelist who's already had this opportunity to talk.
Well, Michael, this is a 21st century world. Michael, I would just say, though, that you're not very open to hearing other perspectives on it. We've got to move on. I've heard it all before.
All right, hold on.
Hold on.
We're going to move on. And we're going to come back and visit this at another time, because we want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the Pentagon. Because there, House Majority Leader John Boehner, an Ohio Republican, is saying... We've heard this before, of course, that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is, in his words, the best thing that's happened to the Pentagon in 25 years. That's a quote. Now, Democrats disagree, surprise, surprise, with Mr. Boehner's comments and say that his statements show that the GOP should be voted out of power. Now, all of this is coming up in advance of the November 7th election. So my question really is this, and I want to start with you, Laura. If Rumsfeld were to go, what would really change?
Well, let me just say first, Tony, if Rumsfeld is the best thing that's happened to the Pentagon in 25 years, the Pentagon is in major trouble. Rumsfeld is maybe the best thing that's happened there, but he certainly isn't the best thing that's happened for the people of Iraq. He's certainly not the best thing that's happened to the 101 American soldiers who've already been killed in Iraq this month. He's certainly not the best thing that's happened for American security or world security. That having been said, I don't think that Rumsfeld really is the issue here. He's become a political football. If Rumsfeld were to disappear tomorrow, were to leave that post tomorrow, we would still be mired in Iraq. We would still have this extremely complex, as some of his supporters have pointed out, this extremely complex war where we can't get a handle on major deathly skirmishes around the country, where we're sort of in a conundrum. We can't get the political, social, and cultural scene in order until we get the violence down, and we can't get the violence down until we get some order in terms of our social and economic infrastructure. That's not something that's going to get solved whether Rumsfeld is in place or not. He's become a symbol for what is everything that's wrong with this war, but everything that's wrong with this war started at the top, started in the White House with George Bush, who has kept him in place. So Rumsfeld is not really the issue.
Glenn, let me ask you this, because Boehner said something else. I want to read this quote to you. And I think, this is Boehner now, and I think Donald Rumsfeld is the only man in America who knows where the bodies are buried at the Pentagon. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What he's saying is that there is need for the reform of the military bureaucracy, and Donald Rumsfeld went in there with the determination to shake things up and not do business as usual, and that's a good thing. And in some abstract sense, that well may be a good thing. But what we're talking about here is one of the great historic strategic foreign policy and military blunders, I repeat, blunders, in the history of the nation. That's what this is going to go down as. There can be no doubt about that. And he is principally responsible for it. Obviously, the president can't fire him before the election. Obviously, if the Democrats win big, he's not going to continue to serve. I don't know how these people sleep at night.
You know, let me ask you, Mike Myers, because here's a quote from a Democratic congresswoman from Florida about Rumsfeld, and it's kind of interesting, and I'd like to get your take on it. She says, I think it's a shame to take this complex issue of winning the international war on terror and putting it at the level of whether you like or don't like Donald Rumsfeld. What about that?
Absolutely. I think this is just bumbling politics. This is a bumbling campaign. Rumsfeld is doing Bush's bidding. Bush has already said he has strong identification with and support for Rumsfeld. This is a non-issue. These people don't know how to politic anymore. If politicians realize what Americans want, what they like, they like their stakes thick, their taxes low, and their guns loaded. If they run that kind of campaign, they might get elected. But running against Rumsfeld is not on the ballot. It's Bush. It's the war in Iraq.
Michael, are you saying that Iraq is not one of the primary issues?
You're not listening, Laura.
Okay.
What I did say, what I was trying to say before you interrupted me, was that Iraq is the issue. The war in Iraq is the issue. It's not Donald Rumsfeld or how, quote unquote, Donald Rumsfeld running the war, because this is Bush's war.
But the question is responsibility and accountability, and Rumsfeld personifies it. No, I mean, it's not a campaign against Rumsfeld as such, Condoleezza Rice has a lot of responsibility. Dick Cheney has a lot of responsibility. And George Bush has the primary deciding responsibility. But it is about making the election that's coming up be interpreted, giving a mandate, having it have an understanding, which is a repudiation and a rebuke against the leadership that we've gotten out of this regime, of which Rumsfeld is a poster boy. He made himself with his arrogant, assertive, acerbic, self-confident, willful personality that he projected onto the American people. He personified what we've done over there, which is a fiasco.
And don't, so what? You're saying
on historic scale,
hundreds
of thousands
this is
of people
a big
are dead.
Gee whiz, I'm shocked too.
So Mike Myers, your point is that you don't think that Rumsfeld is the face of the war, is what you're saying.
Exactly. What I'm saying is that people are now desperate. They're reaching for anything, calling out any name they possibly can. Bush is down south talking about gay marriage and making boogeymen on Halloween. This is just desperate politics, and it must be rejected. The real issues must be addressed in American society, and we need intelligent people to understand the real issues.
All right,
Black college is not a real issue.
Let's move on to another real issue, the issue of global warming. Let's talk about that, because there's a report coming out that came out yesterday in Britain that talked about the devastating effects if the world doesn't begin to dump what the report says will be. Actually, put it this way. The report says that it would cost us $7 trillion. That's with a T. $7 trillion in losses if we don't begin to blunt the effects of global warming this decade.
I ain't got $7 trillion.
Well, look in your pocket. Look deep. Look in your other pocket. the question seems to be, because in the United States, for example, the comparison between the monies spent for defense and the money spent on global warming, obviously defense is 4 times greater, according to the reports that I have read. So is this an issue, global warming, an issue that has any traction in America?
You've read a report about the report. I'm pretty confident to say you did not read a 700-page report.
You're correct.
And a 700-page report tries to persuade, and it doesn't persuade, because nobody, I don't know what average person is going to read a 700-page report.
Mm-hmm.
We got to, at some point, if you're going to take global warming, you know, giving our cold winters and cool summers, and we're going to take global warming seriously, you got to change the term to something that people can identify with, like environmental dumping or sewer skies or something like that. But, you know, I didn't watch the Inconvenient Truth, you know, Al Gore's movie. I do believe in the science of global warming as opposed to those who don't. But, you know, I think we have to take out the pollution of our environment very, very seriously.
Well, why doesn't this have more traction here, Laura?
Well, I think partly because of what Michael says, you know, it sounds very wonky and sciencey, and it sounds very futuristic. And I think the important thing about this report is not only did it put it in a place where the money is, and money talks for folks, but it also reinforced the fact that this is coming sooner rather than later. I was also very happy to see it put Tony Blair advance this position, and not only advance this position, but hire Al Gore to come in as a consultant. I don't know if he actually needs Al Gore to tell him the truth about global warming, but it's an important political symbol, and that, you know, Tony Blair has been perceived as George Bush's poodle for the last, you know, the last administration, and in this case, he's taking an opposite position of Bush. Bush has been very laid back on this issue. He hasn't agreed to the Kyoto thing.
Protocol.
And I see this as a political opportunity for us to put on the map. I think, though, Tony, people just don't care about this issue yet. We haven't found a way to get just the average citizen to get on board with it, and this report is not going to do that.
It's not on the ballot, huh?
No, it's not. Let me ask you, Glenn, as we let's wrap up. I want to wrap up this subject, because I'll try to get to one more before we get out of here. Do you think that the world can fight global warming successfully without U.S. participation?
No, obviously not. I mean, I think there are two points. One is the political point. California is included amongst the, quote, countries, close quote, who are cooperating with Britain under Blair's vision to deal with global warming. And I think that's interesting. I mean, Schwarzenegger has made a very interesting move. This issue is not going to go away. I mean, no, we're not going to deal with it, because we're not going to deal with anything, right? We're not going to deal with Social Security. We're not going to deal with, you know, a lot of problems. But the issue is not going to go away. The other point that I would make is, you know, the Republican war on science, the attempt to politicize and relativize these important questions, to make them into, oh, we don't know the answer. We do know the answer. that the world is getting warmer and that human activity has a lot to do with that. And we do know what the consequences of it are. They are going to, in the long run, be grave. Throwing dust in the air, which is what George Bush's administration trying to muzzle the scientist at NASA, who's a distinguished commentator on this issue, is just a piece with this kind of, reality versus faith-based, make up the facts any way you want them to be. I mean, this is the stem cell research issue of the future when you look behind it, because these guys responding to industry pressures have raised doubts about something that the scientific community is very certain about.
When you're looking at some of the issues, though, that we're dealing with, I'm talking now about terrorism and the events post 9/11, it's hard to get your mind wrapped around something that is so innocuous in a sense and seems to be down the line when you have immediate dangers facing you. Isn't that?
But you know, in a way, it's the same issue. They're the same issue because they involve effective international cooperation. The United States has to learn how to cooperate with other nations, notwithstanding the fact that we are the sole superpower. Our preemptive, unilateral, high-handed way of acting, like turning our back on Kyoto, we can't do that. We obviously have to sit at the table and discuss this problem with other people. And so, too, in international affairs, do we have to form, bonds with other countries to pursue our common interests?
I'm assuming that global warming is part of the science that is being taught in the colleges, at least at the rigorous, competitive colleges. The next generation will be a little more educated about these issues than the last generation.
Well, our time is running out. I know they do teach you how to tell time in these colleges. Mike Myers, Executive Director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, and Glenn Lowry, professor of the social sciences and professor of economics at Brown University. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Tony.